the Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning to you. We were just talking about WKRP in Cincinnati. Were you a fan?
I definitely watched it. I don't know if I would call myself a fan as such, but I definitely recall watching it back in the day. So definitely I'm part of that group who remembers it and watched it.
Yeah, look, it might speak more to our age than it does to anything else.
But we'll let that go. Unfortunately, that was what I was kind of thinking about, but didn't want to say it out loud. Exactly.
All right. What do you want to say?
We're into, of course, a new month, Chodesh Tov. Absolutely. And we're into a leap year month. This is Adar, the first month of Adar that we're having this year. We're in a leap year. To try to understand the Jewish system of leap years is requires a doctorate of some sort. But all I can say is that apparently 7 years out of a cycle of 19 are leap years, and 12 years are not. And the leap years are seem to occur at sort of unplanned times. Apparently it's years 3, 6, 8, 11, 14, 17, and 19 of the cycle, for those who want to remember that. And apparently a leap year can sometimes have 1 month, not only 1 month added, but also have a day less or sometimes a day more. So nothing really easy about all of this, except that I know that we're now into the first version of Adar this year. And of course, Howard, you always like to talk about the festivals that fall too late and too early, and nothing seems to fall on time. Well, Hanukkah was too early, but Purim is going to be too late.
Exactly.
We're now adding that time. Yeah. We're now adding that month in right now. So this is the moment when it's all happening.
It is. It absolutely is. All right. What is also happening, which is very, very upsetting, is that Amnesty International UK is set to release an extensive report later today that accuses Israel of apartheid. Well, we can't be shocked, can we, given Amnesty International UK's or Amnesty International's history?
We can't be shocked. But I think that we need to still know what they're saying, even if we don't necessarily buy into their arguments. And we're expecting this report to be released at 11 o'clock today in Jerusalem at a press conference at one of the hotels in Jerusalem. And it's interesting that the Amnesty Secretary General, Agnes Callamard, will be there to present the report. And the claim of apartheid is predicated upon massive seizures of Palestinian landed property, unlawful killings, forcible transfer, drastic movement restrictions, and the denial of nationality and citizenship to Palestinians. These, apparently, according to Amnesty, all are components of a discriminatory system, which amounts to, in their words, a crime against humanity under international law. And of course, the term apartheid is applied because it's all very emotive and it conjures up all kinds of views about exactly this horrendous regime that Israel is. Now, we could answer to each of those individual claims and talk about why there might be this issue of so-called massive seizures of Palestinian land, why there is a perception that there are unlawful killings or forcible transfers or movement restrictions. But I think that all of that needs to be set into a context. And the context is that we have forces from around our borders who are set upon the destruction of the state of Israel. Okay, so let's start with that. And let's just say that most of our existence is about trying to protect ourselves, trying to secure our future here, not only in this land, but our future in general, particularly not only from the forces around our borders, but indeed from those like Amnesty International who fuel the hatred and anti-Semitism around the world. Let's not only look at Israel in isolation, but let's look at the Jewish world in general, because reports like this will definitely fuel anti-Semitism. And of course, we always like to say, why are they so hell-bent on criticizing Israel? And why don't we see reports about human rights abuses in those countries, in, for example, the Palestinian Authority area, for example, within Jordan or from within Gaza or within Lebanon and Syria, and, you know, all of these countries and the people that we are being accused of acting inappropriately against. So, you know, it's interesting to see why they decide that they think that Israel is an apartheid regime. But of course, all of these matters do have an answer to them. And so what I would urge listeners to do when being bombarded with information about this, because there is no doubt that this will reach the international press everywhere. So when being bombarded with information about this, and do read it, I do encourage you to read what their accusations against us are. I think we need to be aware of that. I don't think that we should entirely ignore it and just say, oh, it's all one-sided and inaccurate, and therefore we're not going to read it. I think we should read it, and I think that to the extent that there are claims which need to be taken seriously and need to be considered, I think they need to be considered. And, you know, it was Yair Lapid who said, Israel is a democracy, not a perfect democracy, but Israel is a democracy, and we have a lot that we need to fix. But let's look at the bigger picture rather than try to pick apart some of the weaknesses, of which, you know, if you're looking for weaknesses in any society, then you're not going to have to look very far. You're going to be able to find them no matter which perfect society you might look at. You know, let's even look at the Scandinavian countries, which are held up as bastions of democracy and freedom of speech and freedom of movement and freedom of everything. And then you start looking a little bit more deeply, and you too will find issues there
In fact, in all of these issues, I mean, if you decide that if I want to be an American, I can't be because I'm South African, and it's a whole process. I could argue that they're discriminating against South Africans. America is an apartheid state. It's only for Americans. It's really just as simple as that. You could take every single one of these issues. There's the, you know, removing people from a property. What we aren't talking about land expropriation here in South Africa. Of course we are. Is that apartheid? It's just an absurdity.
For me, the main thing that seems to be, there's two things that are missing. The first of which is missing is context. We live in a certain environment which cannot be ignored. So that's the first thing that's missing. The second thing that's missing is that every country's government is expected to behave in a way which first and foremost protects the citizens of that country. That little bit is really missing. And so when, you know, the US government decides that they're not going to allow Mexicans to come in and work in the United States and they want to build a wall, then, you know, there is a certain issue there which says we are trying to protect our own people from having to give up their jobs, from being put out of work, from not being able to find housing or social benefits because the system is being overrun by people who are not entitled to these benefits. And therefore, at some point, we need to say to those people, as much as we'd like to help you, it's a no, because we have to look after our own people first. And to the extent that our own people and our own taxpayers and citizens are suffering as a result of a policy, then that policy somehow needs to change. And I think that every government is expected to protect and to progress the interests of their own citizens. And so for me, that's missing from this particular report. And, you know, when we talk about apartheid, as a general rule, we talk about that in the context of citizens of that country, rather than talking about people who are not residents, as you pointed out, how people who don't live in that country are not citizens, are not entitled to anything within that country, and saying, well, you're discriminating against them, because I don't know that that really can fall into the context of real discrimination, and certainly not apartheid. So all of this is very, very unfortunate. And what's more unfortunate is that an Israeli group, a human rights group called B'Tselem, is also signing up to all of this and to the accusations of apartheid, and they certainly become part of all of this. But I would encourage people to make themselves aware of what this report says, what's being accused of, and then to try to understand what the contrary view is and why we think that this report just doesn't have a proper basis, and why it's really damaging for the Jewish cause around the world that reports like this are being published, with some facts, I'm sure, but with many things which are really not being presented, not in context and not in a balanced way at all.
Well, I think the irony that this is being presented in Jerusalem, in Israel, should tell you the whole story. Imagine going to Iran or China or Russia or any other country you accuse of anything, who actually are these things, and saying, I want to go to the capital and I want to release and have this public event and call you an apartheid state. Can you imagine what would have happened?
Well, I can't imagine it happening at all. So I agree with you that the fact that this is being allowed to happen in Jerusalem at all without any restriction says a lot.
Chinese companies have lost out on the latest tender for Tel Aviv light rail infrastructure.
So, yeah, I mean, this is one of the stories that we discussed last week and relates to, you know, this whole pressure that the American government has been putting on Israel to somehow try to distance itself from China and the attempts by China to become more involved in Israel's economy. And this tender that was put out for the green and the purple lines of the Tel Aviv light rail system, which, by the way, is one of the most significant infrastructure projects in Israel's history, digging out under the streets of Tel Aviv and implementing a light rail system which will involve multitude of lines stretching across Tel Aviv from east to west and from north to south, and also joining some of the satellite areas surrounding Tel Aviv with central Tel Aviv. So places like Rishon LeZion and Petah Tikva and Herzliya and Ramat HaSharon are all due to become part of a much broader metropolitan rail system, which will be the Tel Aviv light rail. The first line, the red line, is already well under construction and is due, I understand, to become operational already during the course of next year. So this is quite an exciting time. But the tender for the green and the purple lines were published, and yesterday the results of those tenders were made known. And it's quite noticeable that the Chinese companies, the groups that comprise the Chinese companies, were not the winners. And in fact, we found two groups, one for the green line and one for the purple line, that were announced as being the winners. In the case of the green line, a French company, Alstom, is the main foreign partner in the group, involving some Israeli companies as well. And for the purple line, a Spanish company, CAF, will be involved in building out the infrastructure for this line. So the Chinese have been excluded on this occasion. Having said that, the Chinese are still very much entrenched in Israel's infrastructure projects. They have been involved in digging the Gilon tunnel. They have been involved in working as a subcontractor on the Carmel tunnel project. They have been involved in the current Tel Aviv Red Line project to the tune of something like $500 million. So Chinese companies have certainly been involved up until now, but it's quite noticeable that they were very much excluded from the latest tender in terms of the announcement of the winners. And I sort of wondered to myself whether this is American pressure coming to bear, taken notice of, and excluding the Chinese companies, or whether those tenders were actually awarded on the basis of merit, price, quality, whatever the main criteria are for awarding infrastructure projects of this sort. I mean, obviously, this is a multi-year project. It's going to probably run for the best part of 5-10 years. I don't know in terms of how long it will take until these rail lines are built out in all the various stations. The target year, apparently, for the green line to begin operating will be in 2026, 39 kilometers long, 63 stations along the green line, stretching from Holon through central Tel Aviv to western Herzliya. The purple line will run from Tel Aviv's Carmel market eastward, going to Kiryat Ono, Bar Ilan University, onto Yehud, 27 kilometers, 45 stations, also due to begin operating in 2026. This is quite exciting times, and interesting that the Chinese on this occasion have not been included.
Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning.